Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game. An XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah. This is episode number 81, and we've got a wonderful evening here for you today. Thank you for coming to our Twitch channel or listening via iTunes or YouTube. We really appreciate it. With me today, I've got Miss Catherine Smith-Dabier. How you doing, girl?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. Relaxed after this weekend full of lots of indie game fun.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember all the games we played, but there were so many.
I know, there was so many. I had to go through business cards.
I was going through my photos, and I was like, I don't remember turning this game.
Oh, it's funny. And with us, we've got the wonderful guests of honor here this evening. This is Dorian and Jim, both from the game developer NoCVT, who created all the wonderful magic that is behind the game Void and Melder that we gave. Sorry, Meddler. I'm going to say that wrong. I don't know why I want to say Melder, but it's Void and Meddler. And that's the game that at the Montreal Independent Game Festival, we gave the Art Direction Award to. So congrats, guys, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting us.
All right, this is going to be awesome. So before we get into what everybody's playing, I want to know a little bit more about you guys. You want to give our audience, you know, some details about who you are, what you do, what you like to play? Go right ahead.
So I'm Dorian. I'm French and new in Montreal. I'm the game designer for Void and Meddler. We are independent, so I did game design, level design, music, pixel art, and a lot of stuff.
And I'm Jeremy, or Jim, as people like to call me. I'm a lead artist on Void and Meddler. I do all the pixel art and all the animations. I'm a freelance artist, so I've worked on comic books and movies, and I do like music for short films and other video games. And games I've been playing. I don't know. What have you been playing, Dorian?
Last day we play in Mother Russia Bleed,
We tried Mother Russia Bleeds, beat him up, old school. Not too bad.
It's great and bad in the same time.
Yeah.
I really like Kentucky Road Zero Act 4. I'm playing that. Yeah, I love Kentucky Road Zero.
It's like right in our area of, kind of the same type of game. We have the ambience and the David Lynch-esque feel, vibe to it.
Yeah.
And I've been playing, I think it's called Death Road to Candor or something. It's like pixel art. There's a bit of text-based adventure in it, but you make your own characters and you try to survive for like 12 days to get to Canada. So you just like create all your custom characters. So of course I've made myself and all my friends, and you put personality traits on them and different stats. So, and then you try to survive. It's really, really ridiculous. And sometimes it's pretty accurate on what you'll get, like what type of events and the personality traits, how it affects the story. Sometimes you're like, I would actually do this in real life. My friend would actually say this, and it's really hilarious.
Is that a Canadian developer?
I don't know. I just found it like a week ago, and I played like maybe an hour or two, and I took screenshots of all the stuff that I found funny. That was like spot on with me and my friends. Like, I can't talk right now. What we would do in that situation?
Awesome. I'm gonna have to go check that out, and then I'll end up putting all the members of GOG in it, and we can all survive in the wilderness together.
Yeah, most of the time, like I'm the first one to die.
Which oh is no!
What happened?
That's funny. That's funny. Kat, besides all the games at the Montreal Independent Game Festival, what did you play?
Spoiler alert, I've been playing Forza Horizon 3.
Ooh, can't talk about it yet.
No, I'm not allowed to say what I think of it, but I've been playing it and I will get some reviews and articles ready. And once it launches, it'll have the Play Anywhere. So I'll be able to play on my computer. So maybe a stream or two. We'll see, because I don't have an Elgato. So
hey, that works. I did it with Recore. So Recore, which I played almost a full week ago now when I streamed it, because it was after this episode last week. And yeah, that has the Play Anywhere as well. And it worked pretty well to set up for the stream. I mean, it's just like playing any other PC game.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the full release and testing out a few things that are not included in the review copy. And yeah, other than that, I got two people in GOG addicted to kleptocats.
There you go.
Because I like to find silly mobile games with cats, and then I found one where it's cats that go out and steal items for you, and they have a lot of nerd culture references. Like the first item I got, he brought me back a Triforce magnet for my fridge, and it just said, "Excuse me, princess." So I got people addicted to that, so I'm pretty happy for myself, because I think there's room for casual games next to hardcore games. So like, I can play Forza and The Witcher for hours while my cats on Kleptocat go fetch me stupid shit.
It's perfect. Yeah, I have been playing the For Honor closed alpha, which I'm in love with. I've been playing SimCity Build It when I've been traveling. And what else? Oh yeah, I played some more Recore. And yeah, it's pretty much it. I mean, it's been busy week. I'm in the middle of a really big, busy time at work. I'm actually going to be AFK in Vegas again on Thursday until Sunday. So yeah, crazy stuff coming out of that. It's going to be super busy. But yeah, I'm going to have to bring a game on the road. Now I have to pick something. Decisions. I don't know. Do I bring my Vita? Do I bring my DS? I don't know. Hard decisions. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. And it's been a pretty good week, though. I mean, I've gotten a solid good few hours in playing video games. But I think it's time to talk about all the news and what's been going on in the world of video games. Dorian and Jim, what consoles do you currently play on? Or are you strictly PC gamers?
We're both strictly PC.
Yeah.
Strictly PC?
Yeah, budgetary reasons.
Sometimes on mobiles, but yeah, PC.
Do you play any Blizzard games?
I don't.
Yeah. Not right now, but yeah, we love them.
I've never played any Blizzard game, except for like StarCraft 1.
There you go. Nothing wrong with StarCraft 1. Well, yeah. If you still have your login and you don't like your battle tag, now Battle.net is going to let you change your tag for the small fee of $10. Not bad. Because, you know, when you made your Battle.net name back in the day, you know, maybe you made something foolish because you were a kid.
It's probably awful.
It's probably terrible. I know mine old ones were Soccer Girl something. I'm like, who wants that as your Battle.net tag? Seriously. So yeah, Battle.net, they already let you do it at least like one time after your initial, but any time after that, it would cost you $10 to change. Xbox already has this kind of thing in place. Steam lets you change your name at any time. And PlayStation, of course, as we know, doesn't understand that people like to, or people make mistakes and want to change their names. Kat, do you need to change your Battle.net tag?
I haven't logged into Battle.net in ages, so. And I've never changed it, that I know, so I have the freebie.
Okay, good. There you go.
I think I started playing WoW when I started using my current tag, which is just my real name, so fingers crossed. If not, if I log in, if it's my stupid Japanese name, whatever, that I used to use as a teenager, I'll be
I still use that.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
So.
What?
We mocked that yet.
That was the voice of God making fun of Kat.
I know. It might actually be my toon's name. It might not be Ayajitsu. It might just be Athlani, which was my main toon's name.
Cool.
We'll see. If I ever get back into World of Warcraft or Diablo.
It was gay as fuck.
What? What? You're so foolish. My goodness, we should do a thing at some point and poll everybody and ask on Twitter what their silly old names were on gaming sites and gaming tags and all that kind of stuff when you were kids until you got sensible and wrote something half normal because you were too embarrassed to let them out.
I don't know if what I have right now is normal.
Hey, if you're not embarrassed, it doesn't matter. Kat, you've got some details on Death Stranding.
Yes, that creepy Kojima game with the hugging the fetus.
Yes, that
game. Basically, it was TGS in Tokyo, big gaming convention and event and industry event there. And basically, he said that Death Stranding will come before the Tokyo Olympics. So it looks like a 2018 release for Death Stranding.
But their Olympics are in 2020, right?
Yes, but let me pull the quote. It's because of Akira.
Oh, yes. My God. He's roping his game into Akira?
Yes, and that's why I'm getting more and more excited, because Akira is the bomb.com. It says, Kojima cryptically said that Death Stranding will be out before the Tokyo Olympic Games, which is in 2020, and before the time period set in Akira, which is 2019. To go a little further, there is a movie called The Akira, and it will be out before the year which Akira is set. He said at TGS, according to IGN. So, logically, 2018 release. And Kojima Production tweeted, Death Stranding casting is still underway. Will there be a heroine? Who should play her? So he's hinting at a female character now. So Kojima just being like, just giving us the little nuggets for us to be like, yes, yes, let us drink at your fountain of wisdom, Kojima. So yeah, Death Stranding looks will be like a 2018, maybe 2019-ish release, and there's going to be a chick.
Cool. Dorian and Jim, were you interested in this game prior?
Well, I'll just say that I hope the chick is better dressed than in Metal Gear Solid 5.
Hey!
I was gonna make that comment, but thank you for making it, because I'm usually the one who's just like, quiet as half naked!
Yeah. I don't know. The trailer at E3 was definitely interesting with Norman Reedus. It looked weird, but I don't know much about it other than that. I've been a fan on and off of Kojima, depending on how crazy he goes with his stories.
But the idea of like roping in Akira and other events, that's kind of neat, unless it's just loose for the fact of like somewhere to tease people and they know what other dates are. And I saw a lot of Akira in your game, actually. Was that a reference point? Do you guys like Akira?
Yeah, of course.
It's, yeah,
cyberpunk, it's old school Japanese movie, so yeah. Because I really love Tetsuo. Yeah, do you know Tetsuo movies?
No.
It's
Kat does. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's cyberpunk movies from Tsukamoto, and it's really industrialized cyberpunk and famous movies for underground movie.
Yeah, there's three of them, and it's about a guy that like basically turns into a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, Trent Reznor did the theme song for. So that's...
Oh my God, Trent Reznor. I love some Nine Inch Nails. Oh my. All right. Also, this weekend, we saw the For Honor Alpha, closed alpha, from Thursday until yesterday night. And I really enjoyed the game. We played a bunch, Bianca and myself. And the most common comment was that it felt like a combination of Chivalry and a Souls game, which seems to work quite well for me, who sucks at first-person shooters, because I know how to play third-action games really well. I really enjoyed it. I can see where other people didn't like it. But yeah, it's a closed alpha. They're really just testing the system. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm intrigued. Kat, did you have any inkling to jump in? I knew it's because you're on another assignment that you couldn't.
I wanted to try it because usually when there's a genre that I'm not good with, like the Bloodborne and I forgot the other name. God damn it. That's what happens when you only have ice cream for
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls. Thank you. My brain is malnourished. Yeah, I can't play them. But usually when Ubisoft takes their spin on it, I don't know, Ubisoft games, I can play. So I'll see. I'll try it. I missed that alpha just because, like, with MIGF and trying to play a bit of Forza, I also wanted to play more Void and Meddler, so I got that, and I played a bit yesterday. So I was just like, I'll fork over Honor. Anyway, like, you and Bianca were, like, going full tilt, enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like, just jump on the stress test or something, or the open beta. I have plenty of time. Like, I'm excited for that game, but I feel like I have enough time to try it. So I'm not too worried.
Well, you can just tell Pascal that Valentine's Day is going to be spent with For Honor. That's the launch date, February 14th.
It is. It is. Not that we have ever celebrated any Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we don't really do it either. It's all good.
It's like, you want to go out? Why? And pay three times the price for dinner? Let's go in 2 days.
Exactly.
Let's go tomorrow to the pharmacy and get half off chocolate.
That's the real reason we have Valentine's Day. Half off chocolate.
On the 15th.
Guys, did you get a chance to play For Honor at all? I know it was on Xbox. I'm not sure if there was a PC beta or anything like that yet. Are you interested?
Yeah, it seems. Yeah, maybe with a lot of friends, it could be interesting.
I'm more pessimistic.
Yeah. You're allowed to be.
Yeah.
There's got to be lots of games so that, you know, you don't have to love them all.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we talked about my hate for Star Fox earlier, Star Fox Zero. So, yeah, there you go. There you go. And another game that comes out, or a DLC, actually, to be clear, that comes out tomorrow is Destiny's Rise of Iron, which our whole GOG Discord team is, like, freaking the F out for. So if you want to chat, if you want people to play with all that jazz, you should go to our Discord and, come hang out and talk Destiny with us. Yay! Catherine added the link in.
We also started a spoiler chat, so if you want to talk Rise of Iron spoilers without having 8-Bit Blonde permaban you from Discord, you can do that chat.
Hey, I just want to give a big shout-out to Ladies of the Roundtable who are hosting us tonight. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Much love. If you're listening to this post, you know, Twitch broadcast, we've got the link for our Discord up on Twitter, and it's on the website as well, so you can go check that out if you want to talk Rise of Iron and any other video game stuff. We also talk a lot of just random culture, geek culture stuff too, music, movies, all that. Yeah, just lots of fun. Good crew in there, I must say. Shout out to all you guys in the Discord channel. And last but not least on our news for this week, Montreal Independent Game Festival. So, Kat, I'm going to let you roll down everything that happened on Saturday at Dawson College.
Right. So, it was the second edition. We went last year. It was in March. This year, it was held again at Dawson, but they had a bigger venue. And even though they got a bigger venue, it was still packed. There's a lot of people that want to try indie games in Montreal, apparently. So, I'm hoping they're going to go an even bigger venue, because at one point there was one of the alleys, just like around where Stories was. It was just at one point where you can pass. It was crazy how many people there were. Lots of indie games, some games that are about to be released, some games that are released, some games that were it was their first playable demo. My highlights were naturally Void and Mendler. That's why we have these guys here, because we actually like the game. I really enjoyed Red Trigger, which is had a Portal type feel. I really liked Floor Kids, which was a beat game where you control a b-boy, and there was music by Kid Koala, and it was just a beautiful game, like really sketched out, but the animation was flawless. It was just so many games. You know what, I'll drop in chat for you guys to go see our little roundup. Leah and I were invited to judge the art direction category. We enlisted the help of two of our stream team members, Alice in Spaceland and Bianca, who also have a background in arts and VFX, to help us, you know, shortlist a few games, get some highlights, and then we went on site and we vetted. If you want to know why we chose Voyden Medler, who was our runner-up, it's all on the site. If you're listening to this on iTunes, just girlsongames.ca in the MTL section. It will probably be still be the first article by the time you listen to this. And I've got photos of all the games, and under the photos you have links to all the games if you're more interested in finding them. And it's beautiful, great indie scene we have here in Montreal, really thriving, and some very high quality games that are coming out that, I don't know, like Children of the Zodiacs, like that would, if I were a big RPG producer, like I would be like shaking in my panties because that game looks boss. Mm-hmm. Looks really boss.
It does look really good. Yeah. Anamorphine as well. Big shout out to them. Yeah. And yeah, our runner up, which was In the Shadows, who managed to take light, like a light mechanic with pixel art. How? I don't know. It's like mad skills. I can't do pixel art now and just normal without a like mechanic involved. Like, come on. Oh my God. So pretty. So pretty. But yeah, it was a great weekend and it's so nice to get out and see. I love it. Do you guys, and you guys are there. Oh, my internet connection is unstable, says Zoom. Oh, that's wonderful. You guys are obviously in the indie scene. How do you find it? And especially you, Dorian, where you come from France, is it very different here in Montreal compared to across the pond?
Yeah, because I lived in Lyon, it's a small city. So yeah, there are a lot of studio in Montreal, a lot of variety. They are not, it's not everybody wants to do a platformer like in France. So yeah, it was really great. A lot of big games, indie, but really big for me. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say?
Jim, how long have you been in Montreal? Because you're originally from Gatineau. I know you and Kat had the Gatineau connection.
Yeah, woohoo. I have been here for about 2 years.
Okay, were you developing games when you were living in Gatineau?
No, I was working on movies. I was going to California every year to work on movies with my friends over there.
Wow. And,
I was doing music mostly. And then I met him at an event because my roommate makes video games. He worked at Ubisoft. So I would go to events with him. I was doing music for his game. And then we met just... We had the same band shirt. Well, not the same band shirt, but a band that we both like.
What band?
Oh, you got a cool band shirt. I got a cool band shirt. Let's be best friends.
And we started together. What band was it that brought you together?
He had a Atari Teenage Riot shirt.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And a Chanel shirt.
Awesome. The connection over music, and then you end up making beautiful, beautiful games.
Exactly.
Love it. Love it. All right, guys, give us a rundown now on Voyden Medler. I want to know, give your 1 minute pitch, because for the folks listening in chat, it might be their first chance to hear about the game, except for us tweeting about it all weekend.
You want to do it?
Or... No, do it.
All right. So Voyden Medler is a adventure point and click game in the cyberpunk universe. You play a character that has lost her memories 2 years ago. And instead of trying to find out who she wants to be a new person. So it's a surreal universe, and memories in that universe are tangible, are artificial, and are attached to objects. So you just go around collecting and solving puzzles, finding objects, finding strong memories that you want to absorb, basically to create this new person. So you pick and choose. And you go around the world solving these puzzles in various ways with various consequences. So different paths are unlockable and different endings. So that's about it.
Yeah, it's great.
But it's inspired by the films of like David Lynch, David Cronenberg. So it's very surreal, dark, a lot of dark humor. We don't take ourselves seriously. Yes, exactly. And Acura, like we said earlier.
Philip K. Dick.
Yeah, Philip K. Dick is a big one.
William Gibson.
Yeah.
too much.
Greg Araki.
Yeah. You can totally see the Japanese influence in it. I'm with you there. So how long have you guys been working on Void?
2 years?
Yeah, about two years.
Okay, and you have one episode out to date, another episode coming very soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it on purpose that you wanted to do this episodic style rather than the full game all at once?
It was because I really like this adventure episodic game because you have to play it 1 week, a weekend, I don't know, but you found I don't know how to explain that.
Just say it in French.
Yeah, say it in French, we'll translate.
Yeah, tu retrouves le jeu un mois plus tard, deux mois, quatre mois plus tard, et tu reprends plaisir à rejouer, tu l'oublies pas en fait, c'est ça qui me plaît.
Yeah, so yeah, you can play the game fast and you can replay it months later and you're always discovering it again and it's fun that way. Also, I think for me, the way I see it is the episodic game kind of helps you build a fan base because it's like a TV show or like a Netflix show, you know, you want to see the next season and you know it's coming. It's not something that, oh, we'll announce this. Oh, we're working on a sequel, surprise. No, it's actually like a story that keeps going and you want to find out what happens.
Do you have a set number of episodes in mind?
Yeah, it's 3 episodes.
3 episodes total? Yeah. Cool. I want to get into the reason why we had chosen you guys as the winner of the Art Direction Award. I'm going to give it off to Catherine so she can start to ask you guys questions on your reasoning behind all of this.
Yes. So we saw a very 80s style. You have the banding. The colors are a bit like off, like an offset print that's not great, or it's like a badly calibrated VCR mixed with that film noir, that old school anime. And then there's pixel art and there's realism and those saturated colors. It's basically like a bunch of things that don't match. And you kind of like meshed it together. So are those, did you just pick and choose stuff that you liked or did you have that aesthetic in mind or did you just kind of like build it as you went and kind of like made it work that way?
It's a mix because I really like to work with my instinct. Yeah. So we try to do pixel art because we want to. I don't know how to say that.
Tu peux dire en français?
Yeah. C'est plus simple de travailler à la base pour mon pixel art, puis j'aime le pixel art. Puis on voulait faire un mélange de pas simplement le pixel art basique, on voulait vraiment mélanger plusieurs choses. Du coup, c'était l'idée d'avoir une sorte de distance avec le décor plus les personnages, mais qu'ils soient en même temps bien mixés, que ça soit pas juste planté sur un décor. Donc c'était un peu ça l'idée au tout début, puis voir si ça marchait à l'instant surtout. On a testé plein de choses pour voir si ça marcherait ou pas. Et on était satisfaits, je trouve. Yeah. Enfin, nous, ça nous plaisait bien.
Yeah, for me, like the theme of like finding oneself and not fitting in the world, you know, the art kind of tells that story because the characters are all pixel art and the background's really like realistic and sometimes out of focus. Like, you know, there's a lot of blur everywhere, the flashy lights. So it kind of creates this disconnect between the person and the world they live in. That's like the pretentious answer.
So you start with pixel art, you get to a point where you're like, okay, we need to push this. And then you start throwing other things into the mix. Was there any style that you tried that didn't work out and you just let it be? Or was it just like a happy accident all the time? It ended up turning into gorgeousness.
I think it was, we tried a few things, but it was always like really close to what the end product is. So we never really abandoned any idea or we just, there's some concepts that we like go up like crazy, like, oh, we should do characters like this. Oh, maybe not. It's too insane. And there's a really thin line where we don't want to be like, you know, we're in the cyberpunk world and we don't want to be like cliche cyberpunk or, you know, so that's hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes. But if we like it, okay, it's great. We like it, so it will be great in the game. But sometimes, yeah, we want to not be too much cliche, but sometimes it's cliche and it's okay.
Yeah, you just accept it.
Yeah.
Like a pop song or something.
Yeah. Catherine's and my breaking point for a lot of the games when we were reviewing them was their use of typography. Now, Catherine and I both come from strong graphic design backgrounds, and that's one thing that you guys really had on point. Not only was it just in the title, but also with the neon effect, of course, but also in the menu and the typography used, because it is really type-based. And the font that you chose was super legible and also made sense, because it almost had like that, it wasn't pixel style type, but it was close enough that you got the reference. Were you guys super particular about what you were using for the text to the typography in the game? Or was it another thing where you just put something in and matched out?
I wanted something really classic, but in the same time, very, ça soit bien lisible à l'écran, en fait.
Mm-hmm. Easy to see on the screen, yeah, totally, easy to read.
Et j'ai quand même cherché plusieurs fonts, là, pour voir si ça marchait bien, ce que je recherchais avant de trouver quelque chose qui me plaisait,
ouais. Just a quick translate, Dorian went through and checked a bunch of different fonts just to make sure what he liked best and was most readable and legible. And what was the name of the font that you ended up going with? Because I love it, and I'm just kind of a nerd for that kind of stuff.
Thanks.
C'est quoi le nom de...
Je m'en rappelle pas là.
Don't remember? All right, I'll hit you up for that later because I like that typeface. one thing I noticed when playing the game, because I did end up downloading it on Saturday night and played Saturday and yesterday, is the pacing. It's slow, but it doesn't... I don't know how to explain it. It's not slow in the aggravating sense. It looks slow. It's slower in the pensive sense. Was that intentional? Because I noticed when walking through areas, you're really given time to admire all the stuff on screen as your character walks through.
Well, yeah, we wanted like the ambience, the atmosphere to really get you in and really like show that world how it is and how it feels to be there. Of course, that's something it's hard to do, and you know, we're just an indie team, but we did our best to give out that atmosphere. I think we kind of succeeded in that way. It's definitely a slower pace, like the influential people we name in their movies or anything they did. It's all like based in, you know, very slow paced, slow burn type movies, and you wanted the big reveal at the end. It kind of gets crazy. There's a buildup. Yeah, so intentional.
Yeah,
very cool. And how about the music? You guys wrote all the music?
Yeah, me and my partner in France. Yeah, and maybe with Jim.
I didn't work on it that time, but maybe in the future.
That's cool. Yeah, and the soundtrack is also available to download, correct? In Steam?
On Steam. Really awesome.
Sweet. Yeah, you guys should all go check that out. Also, for those folks who are in the chat right now, if you have any question for Dorian and Jim, just throw it in the Twitch chat and we'll make sure they get it. I'm sure they'll answer any question when it comes to the game, but also just, you know, being an indie dev and working in the city of Montreal and what it's like. Kat, I'll throw it back to you again to ask a question.
So you said it was going to be a slow burn movie. A slow burn, like those movies. Is it a bit like the journey is more important than the end result? Without spoiling it, like, is the journey more important than that big reveal? Because one of my favorite animes is Samurai Champloo, and it's basically all about the journey, and it just, you know, it just ends. They just like, bye, and they go away, and it's just, for me, that was my first experience with an anti-ending, if you can put it that way.
Yeah, it's like Philip K. Dick, for me it's the journey is the most important, yeah.
Even though the ending is going to have a big impact on who you are as a person, since it's all about that, I feel like, you know, going through life, it's all like what you do with your life and how you live it. It's not like how you, you know, end up dying really that matters. It's kind of the same thing. So yeah, journey all the way.
But will there be multiple endings?
Yeah, there is four of them.
Ooh, So how you play all three episodes has a big impact.
Exactly. Yeah. Each episode like bleeds into the next one. So like all the way, like if you play the first episode, all the choices you've made will impact the second one and the third one.
Each chapter.
And we'll offer like people who haven't played the first one and get the second one, we'll offer a way to just like to start somewhere specific with like different actions. Like let's say there's an easy way, a hard way, you know, a normal way, hard way. Well, you can choose like, oh, I'll start this game as if I would have ended the last episode on an easy way.
Cool. Is this your guys' first game?
Yeah.
And what made you want to jump into the video game development? Well, Dorian, I guess if you studied, is that correct?
Not really. Yeah.
Well, you study in music.
You study music? Okay, then why go to video game design? It's so different of a medium.
Yeah, because I was tired of music.
That's a good reason. I mean, the music life is hard. I don't know if the game dev life is pretty hard too. I mean, it's long hours, hurry up and wait, and coding for that one big bang when it goes live on Steam.
Everything is hard, but when you like it, it's okay.
Exactly. That's the truth.
So yeah, I would like to make games right now in the future because you can make music, write something interesting for the narrative, make art. Yeah. So yeah, it's very interesting for me because I can't... Enfin, dans la musique, je suis un peu trop oppressé par le faire la musique. Là, donc,
He gets too stressed out when he's just working on music and like it's just a way to vent, basically making a game and telling a story.
Yeah, totally. And how did you get into the process then? Because obviously you got to learn to code and all that kind of stuff. What engine are you using, or what are you using to build the game?
We use
Unity.
Yeah.
Unity. And did you find it easy to learn?
Yeah, we are using a plugin to make point and click, so it's like we are coding, but not like
like a professional.
Yeah.
Does it feel like constructing a storyboard of a movie, but instead you have different branches instead of one solid branch?
Yeah, it's like that.
That's pretty cool. And so you've got another episode coming really soon. Do you guys have a hard date on that yet, or is it loose?
We don't want to say, but yeah, it's supposed we've delayed a few times and due to a lot of crazy reasons, all real though, no excuses, and yeah, we hope to release it in October if everything goes well. It's going well right now, so there's, unless like, you know, my house explodes.
Don't even go there. But this gives all the folks that are listening who hadn't gotten a chance to try the game yet to get episode one under their belt. And then the third episode, you expecting it before Christmas, after Christmas?
Definitely after Christmas.
After Christmas?
Yeah.
That's cool. And then what do you plan on doing next? Building another game?
Well, we
want to make another game, but first we will make a
We'll start a band and
take a break some months.
What kind of music for your band?
We've been exploring ideas, but we like electronic stuff and like industrial stuff and ambient music. So I'm all like, I do movie scores.
Yeah,
he's all the way industrial, so we'll see like how this blends together. And hopefully it'll create something unique. And
maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. We don't know. It's hard to be unique these days. Everything's been done before.
It's all about taking a good idea and making it better.
Yeah. Exactly.
We have a question from chat. So Sun Brozak would like to know, I'd be curious to know how the devs approach promoting their game and standing out amongst the crowd with how competitive the indie scene is these days.
Yeah.
Il y a beaucoup de jeux. Comment est-ce qu'on fait pour voir votre jeu? Basically.
Well, we're not marketing guys, although I was a UX designer for quite some years. we need a social media route, and we have a publisher, Miklo, that helps us like get events and stuff. But you know, we go to every small like game dev event, like the Montreal Gaming Society, and we'll meet people there. We'll show off our games at these events, and then we get contacts, and then hopefully this gets us other events, or you know, like the Montreal Independent Game Festival last weekend. And hopefully that gets us exposure, but you know, it's hard to maintain social media and, you know, trying to get a fan base. You have to be out there all the time. I'm not the best at it. He's better than me, I think, at it.
Sometimes.
How many events like Montreal Independent Game Festival do you guys say you attend in a year?
Oh my God.
A lot?
Yeah, this year has been a lot. But like we go to small, just like not really like events, just meetups and stuff.
Okay. People,
and there's like gameplay space that we went a few times, but we try to go, but then we have to work on the game. So sometimes we hope to go, but then we don't. But yeah, you gotta get yourself out there the best way possible, like as much as you can, and try to meet people. I think that's true. That sits true with any business. Any venture, any artistic venture, be it movies or you know, just illustrations or anything, music. You just have to get out there and make contacts, and try to sell your game and not be an asshole to anyone.
You know what? People don't put into account how important that is to just smile, say thank you, and shake someone's hand.
Yeah, and you have to be genuine. Like a lot of people, just you can tell they just want you to buy their games, and they don't really want to meet you. And that, I think that can, well, it can certainly work in some situations, but you know when someone's being genuine and they're actually interested in your game and you as a person. Mm.
So at the event this weekend, was there any games that piqued your interest that you want to go check out or you thought were really inspirational?
Yeah, Anna Morphine, it seems really great.
Mm-hmm.
All the Bunnies, which is our friends, Qubit Games, at Qubit Games. These guys are great, and we've met them at a lot of different events, and they're always like next to us, like coincidentally, and they sell our game to everyone, and we sell theirs, and you know, it's a great game. It's not like a version of nepotism or something.
No, it is really good. We played it. It just came out. I think, yeah. Wasn't it, Catherine?
Yeah, I think they actually sent us a demo, and we played a demo. We didn't even have the full game, and we were playing it, and they were in chat with us. They're such great guys. They're
love it. That's awesome. They're great.
Other than Katana Zero, that was there. Which have been I saw a year ago and have been wanting to try because like the music composer on there, they got two of them, but one of them is like a big inspiration for me. So I was like, oh shit, that guy's working on it. Now I have to buy it when it comes out. But I played it. It was really fun, although pretty hard. And yeah, that's about it.
Cool. For anybody in the indie scene or would like to get in there, is there any tips, recommendations, things they should do? As indie developers yourself, that you can like pass on the love and the knowledge?
I think what I said previously, and also like you gotta motivate yourself, you gotta be on point, you know, you gotta work those hours, you know, 8-hour days simply, you know, don't work. I'll say what Arnold Schwarzenegger says all the time.
You know, yes.
Because he's a great achiever there. And he would say like, you know, if you sleep 6 hours, well, another guy is going to sleep 5 and do a lot more work than you're doing. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind if you want to succeed in this business.
That's how he became the governator.
Exactly.
Who ironically now reps mobile games.
It's true!
Full circle!
Mobile Strike, what?
Yeah, I unfollowed him because of that.
Nothing else but the fact that he worked on Mobile Strike. That's funny.
No, it's just the ads were so, like, in
obnoxious.
Your face all the time.
Sweet. I'll take this last chat to ask in chat if anybody else has any questions. Kat, do you have a last question before we roll out?
Yeah, you were talking about forming a band. So right off the bat, what are your biggest inspiration, your favorite bands? Let's talk music instead of games. Music, make me discover bands. Let's go.
We love music.
Yeah, we got like subscriptions so we can get all the music.
I've always been a Trent Reznor fan, so like anything that he does is movie scores now with Atticus Ross. But like I'm a big movie score fan, so I you know, old school John Carpenter, his films and his music. Alessandro Cortini, who's also been with Nine Inch Nails, but he does great ambient music. The Soft Moon is one I like a lot. Black Queen, a lot of like, you know, industrial ambient synth music. It's usually what I stick for. And in games, usually, like, you know, I'll go with the classic Nintendo games like Zelda and Metroid, that amazing scores. And I still have like all the 25th anniversary album from Zelda that I listen to all the time. And usually when I take a plane, that's what I'll listen to in case I die. I want to listen to Zelda music before I do.
Oh my, you should put that into your will so that they play Zelda music.
Exactly.
There you go. How about you, Dorian? Same kind of music?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Nick Cave. What Fetus is industrial old school band, and I don't know a lot of bands, so this day I'm listening Lorne and Swans, post-punk band. Yeah, it's really great.
Awesome. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up our show. Before I get the guys to reel off their social media so all you folks can go and check out what they're doing, and go buy Void and Meddler so that you can play it yourself and see what all the hype is about and why Catherine and I are crushing. But before we do all that, I want to give you guys a little heads up. If you need some awesome hosting for your website, Fun.io, our wonderful sponsor, does a great job of VPS hosting. Our website, girlsongames.ca, is run on their platform. Stream schedule. What's going on this week in the streaming world of Girls on Games? We got Kathless tomorrow. She's playing some Ratchet and Clank. I believe that's Alice on Wednesday with some Rise of Iron, because the hype is real. Thursday, I don't know what Simon put there. Simon, what is that frog?
I'm playing Dang Souls 3.
Dang Souls 3.
Yeah.
I get it now.
I understand now. Okay.
I call you small.
Foolish. He's so...
Shut up. No, but I'm getting ready for the DLC coming out. I think it's October. So.
Oh, sweet.
Yes.
There you go, Dark Souls 3. And Miss Bianca is going to be playing some Final Fantasy X on Friday. So all of that happens at the 8 o'clock hour. You can come back here and check it out. We've got some cool stuff up on the website right now. We've got a review for Deus Ex Mankind Divided. We've got a review for WoW Legion. Interviews with actor stuntwoman Charlene Royer and with Teresa Gaffney of Collegiate Star League, which is really cool. You should go check all that out on girlsongames.ca. And, I think that's about it. So, Dorian, Jim, thank you. We really appreciate it. We love what you're doing. Keep it up. If you want to learn more about No CVT and the boys, guys, you want to let everybody know your social media handles and where they can check out Void and Meddler?
we're on Twitter at No_CVT. Or you can find Dorian at Red City Noise.
Yeah.
And I myself at James Cobra, I think. Not sure. Yeah. is that what it is? That's the names we were talking about before when we were younger.
There you go. Okay. Cool.
We're on Facebook and our names. And well, you're very friendly people, so we'll add you as a friend even if we don't know you.
Awesome. Aww. All the nice people. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Before we close out, Kat, you want to tell everybody where they can track you down?
Yeah, you can find me CSDESBINS on Twitter, Instagram, PSN, Steam, Nintendo, and Xbox One. Follow me on Instagram if you like photos of my cat and of sunsets and of flowers, because I'm a basic bitch. And follow me on Twitter if you like more photos of my cats and me retweeting silly shit. Like, I've retweeted something from Cookie Monster today. He posted this cool photo with the laser background.
Brilliant.
So go see that. It made me happy. It made me warm inside. So yeah, I don't take myself seriously, so go find me. I post stupid shit.
Awesome. And you can track me down on Twitter and Instagram at Leah Jewer. All right. And then, of course, if you want to follow everything and learn more about Girls on Games, we're on Twitter, The Girls on Games, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, The Girls on Games as well. And, of course, it's on girlsongames.ca. We'll see you all next week. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dorian. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Kat. It's been awesome. Until next time, see y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.